Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, January 18th, 2017. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today my guest is Barbara Pytron, who is the author of urban fantasy novels Soul Shifter, Thunderstone, and Heart of Ice. And we will hear from Barbara. Oh, I see that she's called in, so I'm just going to keep on going. Having a love for witches and vampires before they were trendy, Barbara gravitates towards stories with supernatural elements both when she reads and when she writes. Although classified as young adult, her books are enjoyed by a wide audience, preteen through adult. Barbara's novel, Thunderstone, was awarded the 2013 Book of the Year finalist status by Forward Reviews, and before it was published, Thunderstone was a quarter finalist in the 2012 Amazon Breakout Novel Award contest, winning a review by Publishers Weekly. When she's not writing, Barbara works in a library where she's tortured by all the books she has not yet read. She's a cult fan of the movies Labyrinth and Nightmare Before Christmas, and a fan of all things Tim Burton. Barbara lives in Royal Oak, Michigan with her husband, daughter, and a cat that often acts like a dog. And I want to welcome Barbara Pytron to Michigan Literary Network Radio. And I want to let you know, audience and Barbara, that I've tried and we tried several times to get Barbara on the show late last year, but those chances were always botched by technical difficulties. So we got them all worked out, and I am so glad that we are finally able to have you on the show, Barbara. So welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad we finally worked this out.
Me too. We tried so hard last year.
Yeah.
Barbara, one thing I want to bring up is a very nice personal note from you on your website where you mentioned that when you were given the chance to decide what you wanted to be, when you were given the second chance to decide what you wanted to be, you chose being an author. Let's talk about that one nice little tidbit. Talk about that second chance.
Okay. Well, first I'm going to say that I'm a 16-year cancer survivor, and having cancer completely changed how I looked at life. You know, like all the metaphors, take time to smell the roses and don't sweat the small stuff, that all took on new meaning for me. So about 10 years ago, when the auto companies were downsizing like crazy, I was one of the thousands that found myself out of a job. So this was my second chance, and because of my newfound outlook on life, I decided it was an opportunity. It was an opportunity to do something I was passionate about, and my greatest passion in life has always been books. I've always felt such admiration and gratitude towards authors whenever I finish a great book, and I thought, wow, how great would it be if I was the one who provided readers with that kind of entertainment and escape from their everyday lives. So I started writing, and I also got a job in a library.
Wow. And I'm just going to say, right off from a personal note, your top motivation for doing what you want to do as an author touched me, because I am a new cancer survivor. I was diagnosed with cancer last year, had surgery, and, you know, went through treatment. So I am in the recovery process right now, like getting my body and everything back together. And so I definitely understand about getting that new outlook on life and that will become stronger to do what it is that you want to do. And being an author is such a commendable thing to want to do. So I am right where you have been too. So thank you so much for saying that. That was very inspirational to me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure
good.
To some others that were listening too. Yeah, so that. Thank you. I appreciate you bringing that up. So let's get into your books, starting with Soul Shifter. Fill us in on that book, because I understand it's not part of the Legacy and Legend series, which is one of the a series that you have put forth.
Right. Yeah, Soul Shifter stands alone. It's my most recent release, but it's kind of, you know, keeping my readers busy while I get the rest of my series going. So yeah, it's a standalone. It's about a 16-year-old boy named Jack. He's a soul shifter, which means he has the ability to travel between our world and the underworld. And one of his classmates has gone missing, and he overhears the missing girl's best friend describe the creature that took her, and Jack knows she's been taken to the underworld. So he belongs to this sect of other people with unusual powers like his, and he knows if he rescues this girl, he will secure a future otherwise out of his reach. So he volunteers to rescue her. So as things happen and he gets ready to go, by the time he's ready to go on his quest, he no longer sure what he wants in his life, but now it's too late to back out. So he figures it's going to come down to a deal with the devil to get him back out of the underworld alive, but he has to go for it anyway. That's kind of Soul Shifter.
Yeah. I mean, that too sounds like it can be a series.
You know, I've gotten that comment more than once. After people read Soul Shifter, they want, is there going to be another one?
Right. So, you sound so reluctant about it, though.
No, I've thought about it. But I want, my idea for a sequel to Soul Shifter would kind of be like, you know, 10 or 15 years in the future. And then I'm out of my YA genre. So I don't know how that would work. I don't know.
Right.
I'll have to think about it some more.
Yeah. You are so right. And so this is a good transition to the Legacy and Legend series. Tell us about that particular series and you know, how you came up with it.
Okay. The Legacy and Legend series, like the series arc, is that the main character, her name is Jenny. She discovers that she has a sort of spiritual link, and she's in search of the hereditary source of her ability so that she can learn how to develop it and control it. The series takes place along the Mississippi River. It begins at the Mississippi headwaters in Minnesota, where Jenny's family has gathered to spread her grandfather's ashes in the river. And the family decides while they're there that they're going to go on, they're going to trace her grandfather's journey, and they're going to meet at various places along the river. So each book in the series is going to happen at one of these family gatherings, and Jenny will encounter some kind of otherworldly element from local lore or mythology. And every time this happens, it becomes more important that she figures out exactly who and what she is, so that she can protect herself and her loved ones from these evil entities. So that's kind of the series idea. I got that idea because actually my family and I, we did take my dad's ashes to the headwaters of the Mississippi, and it just kind of sparked this whole travel the Mississippi from beginning to end kind of idea. So So Thunderstone, which of course takes place in Minnesota, is where Jenny's ability is exposed. She acquires a Native American artifact and accidentally releases a mythic underwater monster. So the local medicine man sends his apprentice, whose name is Ice, and he wants her to find Jenny and get the artifact back. So Ice is the one who reveals Jenny's spiritual ability to her. And, of course, she thinks he's crazy at first. but then a man's killed by the monster, and then the artifact goes missing, and it leaves Jenny as the only link to the monster, and it's up to her to re-imprison it. So that's Thunderstone.
Thunderstone is book one. I'm sorry, Thunderstone is book one in the series, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And it's told from both Jenny and Ice's point of view. which is kind of cool. I think it makes it nice for both girl and boy readers that way, you know. You kind of get both of their perspectives on the story. So, and the second book in the series will be out this November. And in this book, the family's going to take a riverboat cruise from the upper Mississippi River, kind of between Minnesota and Iowa. Do you want to know about that book too? Or... Okay. They're going to be on this riverboat cruise, and Jenny's excited because Ice is going to join them when the boat gets to Minneapolis. But when the boat gets there, Ice doesn't show up. She calls the medicine man, and the medicine man agrees that because of the circumstances of his disappearance, that things just aren't right. But he's already up in some medicine man stuff that he has to take care of. So he sends a peer of Ice's, whose name is Dale, to help Jenny investigate. And what they find is that they're up against some kind of evil that comes from Irish and Celtic legend. And in the meantime, Ice, who's been abducted, he finds out that the price of his escape or rescue, as it may be, is a curse. And it will pit his life against Jenny's life. And the only way to break the curse would be to find and eliminate the immortal entity that kidnapped him originally. So it's going to, that all that comes out of like Celtic mythology in that book.
Wow. So, what an imagination you have.
Yeah. That's my thing, is to bring in any kind of different kind of mythologies and legends that I can into books, because I just find that so cool.
And there are so many to choose from.
There are. Yeah, I feel like I love Greek mythology, and I love to read books that have Greek mythology in them, but I also feel like there's a lot of that out there. So I thought, what else is out there I can get into, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
how many books do you have in mind for the series?
Five is my ultimate idea.
Okay.
Five, and then I also wrote a prequel to the series. There'd ultimately, there's six altogether, but basically books 1 through 5 and a prequel. So
okay. So, and have you completed book 3? Because last year when we were trying to get on the air, you had mentioned that you were writing book 3 for National Novel Writing Month.
Yeah, and I did. And I finished it during the month of November.
Good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Excellent.
I know. I'm so happy because the first draft is done, and now I'm kind of letting it age while I work on editing the second book, and then I'll be able to go back to it. So all I can really say about that one is it's going to take place like about an hour south of St. Louis, and it will involve a ghost legend.
Okay. Now, had you started it in November during National Novel Writing Month, or you continued and finished it in November? You understand my question?
Yeah, no, I started it. I mean, I did, I outlined it and made notes and stuff like that before November started. I started writing it in November and wrote the whole thing in the month of November.
Okay. Now, have you ever written a book in a month's time before? Is that normal for you?
It's not normal for me, but I actually did do that before. That's where Soul Shifter originated. In 2010, I did the NaNoWriMo, and that story ultimately became Soul Shifter. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's a good way to get a first draft done.
Yeah, it kind of forces you to do it, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned just a little bit about the third book. Do you have a name for the third book? I don't know if you want to mention that yet.
No, I don't have a name for the third book. The second book, I'm currently calling the second book Veiled Existence. I don't know if that title will stick or not. And the third book, I don't have a title for.
Okay. If you're waiting for it to come to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes titles can be like so easy, and sometimes they're really hard. It's
right.
Amazing.
Right. Let's stay right there just for a minute, because, you know, a lot of people struggle with their titles. I know a friend of mine on Facebook who is also an editor and a writing consultant, she had a thing about, you know, someone's book title, about book titles, basically. And so let's talk about the title. So what is it that you're waiting for, or what do you want to jump out at you, or how will you determine, oh, yes, this is the title for book three?
Yeah, well, I would ultimately love for all my titles to sound like they belong in a series. But when I picked the title of Thunderstone, it was, you know, I put the book out there. It was my first book to get published. And, if it stood alone, it was just going to stand alone. If it never became a series, then that was fine. So I didn't even, when I put Thunderstone on that book, I didn't have that whole series title idea. So trying to make all the other books kind of sound the same as Stone isn't working out for me too good.
Okay,
And then I want the title to sound like it's an urban fantasy book. And some of the titles I was coming up with sounded too much like they might be a romance or, you know, something like that. So you really want people to have a sense of the book from the title and just the few words you have, you know? Yeah, that's what can make titles hard sometimes, I think.
Right. Okay. Okay, so you have those parameters. You want it to sound like it's part of the series, and you want it to give a good sense of what the book is about. So what is your, do you have a process for this? Do you go back and you read the story again, or what's your process for that title coming to you, if you have one?
A lot of brainstorming and making notes.
Okay.
And actually, for Soul Shifter, I did a title contest and had people make suggestions, and then I picked the top five titles that my publisher and I liked, and then we put it up for a vote. And Soul Shifter won. So that's how Soul Shifter was titled. I originally called it Escaping Fate, I think was my working title, and we didn't want to keep it because there were too many things out there with a similar title, and there was, I think, a whole series out there named Escaping Fate, so we wanted something else. So we did a contest.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which was fun.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be fun. So what are you most looking forward to with the rest of the series? You've got book two coming out in November, book three will come out at a certain point, and then you've got two other books in the series that will be coming out at later years.
Right.
So what are you most looking forward to with the rest of the series?
I'm looking forward, I got to say, I'm really looking forward to the last book because it will take place in New Orleans, and New Orleans has like a special place in my heart. So I'm looking forward to writing that just because of the setting. The fourth book, I think I'm going to bring in The Legend of the Crossroads, which I think will be really fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into both of those books and seeing what's really going to happen. I am looking forward to it being a complete series. I think that'll just be really cool to have a whole series done and do some other stuff. So, yeah, just seeing what's going to happen, because sometimes you just don't really know as an author what's going to happen.
Right. Okay. And you mentioned the full-length prequel to the series titled Heart of Ice. Tell us about that.
Heart of Ice takes place before Jenny and Ice meet. So the book is essentially, it's about ice. And I just want to say the title Heart of Ice doesn't refer to Ice's heart. It refers to something else completely. So, but it fits, it fits the story perfectly. If you read the story, you totally get it. And it's it involves another Native American mythological creature called a Wendigo. And the legend of the Wendigo was, it came out of, in Minnesota, the winters are long and hard. And a lot of times in the old days, people would go a long time before they were able to hunt or get food. And so starvation was an issue. And if people resorted to eating other people, they would have this condition they called the Wendigo condition, and it would make them into a cannibalistic monster. And that's what the Wendigo is. So that's the monster that's in Heart of Ice.
Okay. Well, all right then.
Yeah. I love Native American mythology. I think it's really interesting.
Right. Yeah, and that's apparent as it shows up in so many of your stories. It's just interesting. And Barbara, how did you get into writing for young adults, being a grown woman?
I'd have to really say, because when I started writing, my daughter was in high school, and I was into reading all the same stuff she was reading. You know, I was reading the Twilight books with her, and like the Ugly Pretty series, and things like that. And young adult at that time, like 10 years ago, was kind of really coming into its own as a genre, and it was really exciting that it was its own thing, you know. Before that, coming-of-age books were just kind of coming-of-age books, you know. They weren't, they didn't have their own category.
That's true.
So that was really cool. And just having a teenage daughter just really brings you back to your own teenage years. And I think I could really identify, you know, just having a young adult in my life, you can identify with what's going on. So, yeah, that's what got me into that genre.
Wow. Okay. That's that's interesting. Because young adult books are very interesting to read. You get so, there's so many different aspects to them as opposed to, you know, adult books.
Yeah. I think what's nice about both reading and writing young adult is they're really fast-paced books. You don't delve into anything really deeply because the action is there, and the next thing has to happen, the next thing has to happen. Younger people don't really usually want to spend a lot of time, I don't know, with the philosophies and the descriptions and the, you know, that kind of stuff. So, so it makes it fun to write.
All the things that we adults like to read.
yeah, to get into the in-depth stuff.
And Barbara, we are coming down to the end of the interview. And so my last question is, let our listeners know if you have any author events coming up, and then also let them know how they can follow you online, like where can they go to find you?
Okay. I have a website, barbarapetron.com. And aside from, you can get Heart of Ice right from my website for free. And I have some other stuff there, like you can read the first chapter of book two. There's an anthology of short stories there, one by me and three by other authors, and just some other fun stuff like that that I have for readers for free. And then I'm on Instagram, BarbaraPetron_author. And what I'm doing on Instagram is kind of cool because I work in a library, So when I find books that look really good, I take a picture of them and post them on Instagram with, you know, just a little one sentence thing about them. But then what I do is I take the book and I post it on my website with the full description. So if you're looking at my account on Instagram and you see a book that looks good, you can just go to my website and read what the book's about. So those are the best places. Oh, and of course I'm on Facebook too. I have a Facebook page. Barbara Petron. And I also, those same posts that I do on Instagram, I do on Facebook with the books and other stuff. So Facebook, Instagram, and my website, best places to connect with me. And I don't have any events scheduled right now, but I'm sure I will with a book launch coming up. So that too, I'll put on my website.
Good, good. And please keep us informed about when the book launches so that we can announce it and help get people to come out to whatever event you have.
Great. Fantastic. Thanks.
You are so welcome. And so that's it, Barbara Petron. And I want to apologize because I mispronounced your last name earlier on. So it's Barbara Petron, everybody.
Oh.
P-I-E-T-R-O-N. So, but thank you so much for being available to be on the air with me today. I'm so glad that we were able to work this out, and all the best to you in your writing endeavors.
Thanks, thanks. Yeah, me too. I'm really glad we got to talk.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much. So you take care and have a good rest of your night.
Okay, you too. Thanks, Andrea.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you again to Barbara Petron for being on the show today. Check her out at her website at barbarapetron.com, and that is B-A-R-B-A-R-A-P-I-E-T-R-O-N, and she's on Instagram and on Facebook. Be sure to check her out so that you can find out when her next book will be out. It sounds really exciting. And that's it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. Remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network Radio and Motown Writers Network at MotownWriters.com. And you can find Motown Writers on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio right here on BlogTalkRadio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. to hear more literary good stuff. I am Andrea Daniel, as always, thanking you out there for listening. I do appreciate you for being there, and you have a good rest of your day and live a good story. And if you are so inclined, write about it. Thank you and good night.